You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty God, would you make your Son, Jesus Christ, present to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Easter. It's been a week since we celebrated the morning that Jesus rose from the dead. And I wonder what this week has been like for you. I wonder if you've noticed signs of the resurrection around you. Or does that already seem far away and hard to believe? Maybe it did last Sunday morning too. I love these readings in Eastertide, the season right after Easter, when we read the accounts of Jesus engaging with people after he has risen from the dead. For that's where we find ourselves. We are the people to whom Jesus has come after his resurrection. Today, our gospel lesson picks up on Sunday evening, that first Easter Sunday. Mary and John and Peter had just been to the tomb that morning, and now our text in John chapter 20 says the disciples were meeting together behind locked doors, afraid. Remember, Jesus' crucifixion happened during the festival of the Passover in Jerusalem. The crowds were massive and had all gotten caught up in asking Pilate to crucify Jesus. His disciples did not feel safe in such chaos and couldn't expect the crowds or leaders to treat them justly either. So as you think about the fear and confusion they're feeling, having lost their friend and the leader they loved and believed in, remember also that they all ran away from him in his hour of trial. They are surely feeling great shame and grief. But a few of their friends had come back from the empty tomb this morning, and Mary had said she had seen the Lord. Surely that couldn't be right. In all this darkness, all they knew to do was gather close with their friends and hide behind locked doors. And Jesus appeared in the room. Surely, they screamed and jumped. In his resurrected body, Jesus didn't have to wait for them to open the door. He entered that room to be with them. He did not send them on a scavenger hunt, but while they were still hiding, while they were still ashamed, while they were still sad, Christ came to them. And what did he say? Peace be with you. Peace be with you, friends who betrayed me. Peace be with you, friends who are paralyzed by fear. Peace be with you, grieving and disoriented ones. He says, I'm coming, and I'm not asking you to explain or defend yourselves. I'm here to be with you because I love you, and I have risen from the dead for you. And then he says, hey, you are my people. And so this is what happens next. Go out in my name and tell people I rose from the dead for them too. As soon as Jesus came to his disciples, he included them in his ministry. The whole point of his coming to earth, living, dying, and rising from the dead, was to bless the whole world and draw all people to himself. Go tell them, he said, and he sent his followers out with the Holy Spirit. In the same pattern that God sent Jesus to us, Jesus sends us in and by the power of the Spirit to make his salvation known throughout the world. Jesus always points to God the Father. In our proclamation, we point to him who has accomplished forgiveness of sin through his cross. Notice the care, the peace, the dignity, the love that Jesus extends to his followers. This is the reality of our relation to Jesus as a result of his resurrection. Is that not wild? It is wild. And as the disciples were marveling at this, they burst with the news to their friend Thomas. Poor guy, wasn't there. Who knows what he was out doing, but he wasn't in the room that first evening when Jesus appeared to them in peace. So they said, we have seen the Lord. That's the same thing Mary had told them that morning. I have seen the Lord. They don't give a scientific or logical proof for the resurrection. They simply bear witness to what happened in their lives. I have seen Jesus. And Thomas doesn't believe them. He says, I can't believe you. And of course he didn't believe that Jesus had come in peace. He knew what he had lived through. He knew he turned away from him. He knew that he saw Jesus dead hanging on a cross. Like you and I, Thomas knows people don't come back from the dead. It's not a thing. And that's why I'm always bothered that Christian tradition gives Thomas a bad rap. Of course he doubted. No one had ever been crucified, spent 3 days in the tomb, and then walked into a room through a locked door. It's not weird that he didn't believe it. But then the text says a very similar scene is set the next week. The disciples were in a house with the doors shut, and Jesus appears in the room. And again, they certainly scream and jump. And again, he says, "Peace be with you." And he immediately locks eyes with Thomas. "Peace, man. Come here. Put your right hand here in my scars. Here, put your hand inside my side where I was pierced. Do not doubt anymore. Believe. I want you to believe. So I've come to you to show you I'm here in peace." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas worshiped him as the Son of God, the divine Lord of the universe. Jesus had to be God if he defeated death. This is why Thomas doesn't need a bad rap, because when he encountered Jesus, he immediately worshiped him. Yes, he didn't believe the first time he heard. The resurrection is a big claim. But encountering Jesus removes disbelief. Jesus has risen from the dead. And so when we encounter him, we are able to say, "You are Lord, you are God." Church history tells us that after Jesus ascended into heaven, Thomas went to India, spreading the gospel of forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Today, many Christians in India have the last name of Thomas for this reason. He saw the risen Christ, he worshiped him, and he went out proclaiming what he had seen. It seems he stopped doubting. Jesus knows it's hard to believe without seeing. That's the next part of his words to Thomas. "Blessed are those who have seen, who have not seen, and yet have come to believe." Do you know who that brings to mind for me? You and I gathered in this room today. In the same way that Thomas wasn't there that first night when Jesus was appeared, neither were you and I. And you and I know what we've lived through. We know our own fickle relationship with God. We know the evil we have experienced. We've heard about God's defeat of death in Jesus, and yet it's often hard for me to believe that Jesus comes to us in peace, that he's working right now to make all things new. It can be really dark here while we wait for him to return. And that's where I listen to our 1 Peter reading. I have a friend in the room who's been waiting to see if I'll address both passages, and here's where they converse. Peter tells us we have a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. Christ's resurrection secured salvation that gives us an imperishable inheritance with Christ that is kept in heaven even now. It's imperishable because it's the inheritance of Christ, who already conquered death. We do not see its fullness yet, and we wait for it to be revealed when Christ returns. Peter encourages the church to continue to have faith in Christ's resurrection, even if that faith is tested through many tribulations right now. Even then, Peter tells us, we can rejoice in Christ's resurrection now, even if believing is hard. Because God is faithful. He will bring about the fulfillment of what we wait for. You do not believe in vain because of the one in whom you are believing. As Peter says in verse 8, you and I do not see Jesus in the flesh now, but we love him. We believe in him, and we rejoice that he has secured for us salvation and life with him eternally. Thomas's story reminds us it is hard to believe without seeing. But just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not true. And what's more, struggling in faith does not count you and I out of participating in Christ's life and mission. Today, you and I are invited with Thomas to remember what we've seen, to remember the ways we have encountered Jesus' resurrection. Is that not part of why we gather again and again, week after week, with each other? Remembering who Jesus is and that he comes to you and I in peace. When our brothers and sisters are tired and bogged down in the struggle of faith, we hold hope for them. And finally, we listen to Scripture's witness to help us see Jesus. Look at this last part of John 20. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus wants you and I to know him. He has come to us in peace, and so God speaks to us through Scripture. That's why John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, the others, wrote these accounts to bear witness and so that generations to come would believe. We rely on the witness of Scripture as we struggle in faith. So we testify to what we've seen. Spread the good news of the gospel. Go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit given to you, proclaiming the grace of God. Christ is with you and will preserve our faith to result in his praise and honor and glory when he returns.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.